Flu season is in full bloom, and it appears to be one of the worst in recent memory. What's causing the flu to be so bad, and more importantly, what do we need to know about keeping ourselves and our friends and families healthy? On today's Know the News podcast, we'll talk about that and more. Hello, my name is Rusty Turner. I'm the host of the Know the News podcast, which is brought to you each week by the newsroom of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Our health reporter, Garrett Moore, will have a story in this weekend's edition of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette and the River Valley Democrat Gazette about the impact the flu is having on our healthcare system and what folks can do to protect themselves from the flu and other diseases. And today we're going to talk about that with Dr. Marty Sharkey. She's the health officer for the city of Fayetteville. Welcome, Dr. Sharkey.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, it's nice to talk to you again. We had you on several times during the COVID-19 pandemic last year. So thanks for coming back and talking with us about the flu and some other things. So can you tell us just a little bit about why the flu is appears to be worse this year than in the last couple of years?
Absolutely. So for the past few years, we've hardly had a flu season. And that is due to the fact that we were all doing things that were preventing COVID. We were masking, keeping our distance, and socially isolating. And those are very effective measures to also prevent the flu from circulating. In addition, we weren't traveling. The flu virus spreads from region to region of the world, depending on where the winter seasons are. So it travels from Australia to up to North America and then back to the southern hemisphere each year. Well, nobody was traveling. Not only were we preventing the flu from spreading locally, we were preventing it from spreading continent to continent. And with that, that meant our immune systems were not seeing the flu virus or getting a little booster, if you will, from being exposed to low levels of flu virus, even if you didn't get sick from it. So now here we are a few years later, and nobody's had the flu. All of our immune systems are naive. So that is the reason we're seeing flu spread. We are not doing the measures that prevent it from spreading. We're traveling, and our immune systems just are weakened in their response to it just because they haven't been boosted over the past several years.
And I know Garrett's story will cover part of this, but the statistics have shown a greater number of flu cases this year compared to the same period of time last year in Arkansas. And more disturbingly, a pretty steep increase in the number of flu deaths at this time of year as compared to the same period of time last year. Is that what you've seen as well?
Yes, we are seeing a marked increase in the number of cases of the flu this year compared to last year. And we're seeing more deaths, unfortunately. Most people tend to think of the flu as a pretty benign illness. Let's just take in children, for instance, in a normal flu year, we have 100 children that die from the flu each year. So we've already had one of those pediatric deaths occur in the state of Arkansas so far this flu year, and it's not even Christmas.
Yeah. And I also understand from Garrett's story, the flu season usually peaks January or February, but we're already seeing a pretty steep incline here in the middle of December as well.
Yes, we're seeing more cases earlier. And what we've seen in the past is not necessarily that if the flu appears earlier, the season will end earlier. The season can go on into May, so it can be prolonged, and we're expecting that to occur this year. We're hoping not, but it very likely will.
Yeah, and COVID's kind of gotten all the attention in the last couple of years, but flu has always been it's always had the capacity to make people severely ill and even kill you. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. Like I mentioned, the pediatric deaths just being a small portion of the deaths. In addition, the other high-risk population is our elderly. And we always see hundreds of influenza deaths across the nation and in the state of Arkansas from the flu in a typical flu year. We didn't see that last year. Fortunately, we had people unfortunately succumbing to COVID, but in a typical flu year, there are thousands of deaths across the U.S. and hundreds within the state of Arkansas.
Yeah. So, and, you know, we mentioned COVID a couple of times. What basically are the differences between influenza, which we've all known about all our lives, and COVID, which only came into our lexicon here about 2.5 years ago?
Yes. So influenza is a respiratory illness that can cause some GI symptoms, and when it gets into our bloodstream, causes systemic symptoms, the body aches and chills and fevers that we typically associate with influenza. And when influenza occurs, it tends to, the symptoms come on very suddenly. You'll feel fine 1 second, and you could almost pinpoint the minute you started feeling bad. So it comes on hard and quick, and you're usually down for, if you aren't vaccinated and have a good case of it, you know, 7 to 14 days even. With COVID, it can comes on more insidiously, meaning you just think you just have a little cold and a cough. And then it tends to get deeper into our respiratory tree and cause it more severe respiratory illness, as well as when it spreads within our blood system, causing those symptoms like I mentioned with the flu, the body aches, the fevers, the chills. But it can also infect, as we've seen, other organs with the complications of the myocarditis, the brain fog, and then uniquely the loss of taste and smell that is unique to COVID.
Mm-hmm. And so they share some symptoms, but others are quite different. The experience of somebody who may have it is quite different with the two different.
Quite different. Yeah. Yes. But with a mild infection of COVID or the flu, they could appear very similar.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, and it'll probably sound like a broken record to some folks, but what's the best defense against the flu? What's the single thing that most people can do to avoid serious illness with the flu?
The best thing that people can do is get their flu vaccine. And as we know from years past, the flu vaccine is developed. First of all, it contains immunization against 4 different strains of the influenza virus, as opposed to just 1 strain that we have seen in our COVID vaccine. So there's 4 strains that you're protected against. And some years, we do a really good job of predicting which strains to put in the vaccine based on what's going on in the Southern Hemisphere in our non-flu season. And we get it right, and the flu vaccine is very effective. Other years, it hasn't been as great. The good news is that this year, the 4 strains in the flu vaccine are the main strains we're seeing circulating. So it's a very good match. So it's very effective in preventing influenza, and if it doesn't prevent it fully, preventing hospitalization and death.
And I'll mention this as well. You know, I can't tell you the number of times I've heard someone say something along the lines of, well, every time I got a flu shot, I got the flu, so I'm not going to get one this year. So, you know, what's the physician's response to someone who thinks a flu shot might give them the flu, cause them to catch the flu?
So the flu vaccine is not a live virus, so it is impossible to get a flu infection from a flu vaccine. But what you can see, similar to what we saw with COVID vaccines, is that there are side effects from these vaccines. Because you're mounting immune response to the vaccine, you're going to have an inflammatory response in your body, and that's a good thing. That means your body's making antibodies, but it can cause you to have a sore arm, a headache, maybe a low-grade fever, and maybe not feel as well for a couple of days. And that is something that we unfortunately expect to happen. Yeah, you know, I wish there was a perfect vaccine that didn't have any side effects. But once we're trying to mount an immune response in the body, we're going to see some of those. So while you may develop flu-like symptoms after you get your flu vaccine, you do not indeed have the flu.
Yeah. Okay. And this is something I think we also talked about with the COVID vaccines when they were coming out. You know, the flu vaccine's not 100%. Even if you get a vaccine, you may get a case of the flu. But there are some benefits to derive from it anyway. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Because with the flu vaccine, even if you were to get the flu, your chances of being hospitalized or passing away from influenza are markedly declined. So even if it doesn't fully prevent you from getting sick, it's going to prevent you from getting in the hospital and keep you out of the morgue.
Yeah. There's been, you know, the flu vaccines are available now and will be for a while. I'm assuming it's not too late. I mean, we're not too far into the flu season for it to not do you any good. So it would be your recommendation if you haven't had a flu vaccine to go ahead and get one. Is that correct?
Absolutely. No, and there's time to get one now if you go out in the next day or two to get your flu vaccine and protect yourselves from having flu disrupt your Christmas and New Year's seasons. In addition to all the important health reasons to get the vaccine, nobody wants to have the flu over the holidays or bring the flu home to grandmother for the holidays. So very important to go ahead and get it now before we start traveling again.
All right. And let's just briefly revisit where we are with COVID-19 vaccines, if you don't mind. The new booster that's out now that addresses one of the more recently discovered strains, it is also still available and out in the world these days?
Yes, it's widely available, and it was approved, I think it was last week now, for those 6 months and older. And we are getting those doses into the state right now and should be available in clinics and at the health department by early next week at the latest.
Okay. All right. Well, before we move on, one of the people we talked to, I think it was from Washington Regional today, referred to what's happening right now and the kind of stress that's being placed on the healthcare system right now is a triple-demic, with the flu and its increase, and with COVID-19, which is still hanging around and showing signs that its infections are increasing. But we also have another respiratory infection called RSV that's having an impact on hospitalizations in the healthcare system, especially among children. I know you've got some quotes in Garrett's story about RSV. Can you talk a little bit about RSV and what it is and what it's doing right now?
Absolutely. So RSV is another respiratory viral infection that generally causes the most severe illness in the very young. So those 2 years and younger, and in particular, those 6 weeks and younger, so newborns. And it causes an upper respiratory infection that results in all the cells that line your respiratory tree to fuse together or become a syncytium. That's where the word syncytial comes from. And for lack of a better way to explain it, those cells fuse together and just become a large mucus-secreting monster. And when that occurs, children with their small airways have a difficult time breathing, and it can be to the point that they stop breathing, which is why in those very young, those 6 weeks and younger, we get very anxious when they get infected with this illness. It does cause problems in the elderly as well, but when adults and older kids get it, it's just like a very bad cold, and with just a lot of mucus production. That's its hallmark presentation in the older. In the infants and younger children, it can cause them to wheeze and sound like they have asthma. And sometimes we treat it similarly with oxygen and lots of fluids and lots of rest.
Okay. And as we are seeing a surge in RSV cases right now, is that seasonal as well? And is the surge also related to the past couple of years when we were doing more masking, doing less traveling, and immune systems aren't quite up to what they were? Is that one of the reasons RSV is making a comeback?
Yes. So typically RSV is also another seasonal virus that we see actually more later in winter, typically, more peaking in February, March, historically. Interestingly, this summer, as we started coming out of our COVID lockdowns and the mask and et cetera went away, we had RSV appear in our community this summer, which is very, very unusual. It wasn't a very big surge, but it was present, and then died down again. And then as the winter months have come back, it's come roaring back. And very similar to the flu and as far as our immune system goes. The big difference between RSV, COVID, and the flu is RSV of those three is the one that we do not have a vaccine for. We've been trying to develop one for years and years and years, without any success, unfortunately. So this one is the one that we have to continue to use our hygiene, especially to prevent. This is one that, going back to the early days of the pandemic, where wiping surfaces down, washing your hands is really the best way to prevent its spread.
All right. And so, and let me backtrack to the flu just for a moment. If somebody, whether they're vaccinated or not from the flu, if somebody finds themselves with the flu or thinks they may have the flu, what's the best thing to do? They need to go to the doctor, and what are the home care things they need to do to help mitigate their symptoms till they're feeling better?
Yes. So with the flu, there are anti-flu medications, Tamiflu being the one that's most commonly known. So that medication, much like Paxlovid for COVID, needs to be started as soon as possible after symptoms begin to be most effective. So going to your doctor, getting tested for the flu, and if it is indeed the flu, getting started on Tamiflu is an important first step if you're somebody for high risk. Otherwise, your Tylenol, Motrin, over-the-counter cough and cold medications, lots of rest, lots of fluids, and staying away from your loved ones is the best way to help get yourself better as quickly as possible.
All right. Well, Dr. Sharkey, what else do folks need to know to perhaps prevent themselves from falling victim to one of these illnesses that are running around? Anything else that we need to add?
I think the only thing that I haven't mentioned, vaccines, hygiene, masking when appropriate, isolating. But if you have symptoms of a respiratory illness, the first step is to stay home. Take advantage of your sick days. Everybody will understand. Nobody wants to be around you. Do not say it's just a cold and keep going. Go ahead and isolate yourself and start taking the measures necessary to get on the proper medication if that's appropriate. Get hydrated and take care of yourself to get better as quickly as possible and not spread the illness.
All right. Well, that's all really great information, Dr. Sharkey. Thank you so much for joining us again and to talk about this. This is my guest today has been Dr. Marty Sharkey. She's the health officer for the city of Fayetteville, and we appreciate your help. And if we don't get to talk to you again before then, have a very happy holiday and a Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays to you, too.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Sharkey.
Thank you.
Before I go on, I want to mention a story in our Friday edition and commend it to your attention. It's about Brenda Blagg, a longtime and well-respected Arkansas journalist who died late Wednesday afternoon after a brief illness. She was 75. April Wallace's story about Brenda gives a wonderful summary of her 53-year career in journalism. She went from a small-town reporter who got fired for telling the truth to one of the leading voices in the state, protecting the public's right to know what its government is doing. Brenda's column appeared weekly in newspapers across the state for more than 40 years, and we were proud to carry it every week. On a personal note, Brenda was a great friend and a mentor to me and dozens of other journalists who had the good fortune to work with her. She played an especially important role in opening doors for women to enter the field of journalism to cover hard news. She began her career at a time when such opportunities were rarely afforded to women. Her professionalism and dedication cleared the way for many great reporters and editors to follow. She was also one of the funniest, friendliest, and kindest people you'd ever meet. Unless, of course, you were an elected official hiding a public document or meeting illegally in secret. I and hundreds more friends who loved her will miss her terribly, and our readers will miss her as well. So now let me tell you about some other great stories we have coming your way this weekend in the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette and the River Valley Democrat Gazette. A federal tax credit called Opportunity Zones could encourage more commercial and residential development projects in Springdale, especially more affordable housing. Doug Thompson will have that story. Fayetteville's public library has been dipping into its reserves since its recent expansion, but that's going to have to come to an end soon. Check out Stacey Ryburn's story as he explores how the library can make its programming more sustainable. A coyote roaming the property of the Bentonville Municipal Airport has vexed officials there as they look for ways to get it to leave so it won't create a safety concern for pilots. No word yet whether they've considered contacting the Roadrunner. Check out Mike Jones's story. Tracy Neal tells us how local police officers are spreading holiday cheer to kids who might otherwise go without this Christmas. Monica Brick will tell us if the Fort Smith mayor and city directors will be getting a raise next year. Thomas Cicente has an interview with David Hudson, the outgoing Sebastian County judge, as he reflects on his 24 years in office. If you haven't already, there's still time to contribute to our Community Christmas Card Fund. 100% of the proceeds will go to the Northwest Arkansas Food Bank. Just go to our website, nwaonline.com, and click on the Community Christmas Card link to contribute. You'll be glad you did. Thanks to our subscribers who make it possible to do the work that we do every day. If you're not a subscriber, please join us. Click on the subscribe button at nwaonline.com or call us at 479-684-5509. Once again, that is 479-684-5509. That way you'll never miss out on all the great content we bring your way every day in the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette and the River Valley Democrat Gazette. The Know the News podcast is a production of the newsroom of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette and the River Valley Democrat Gazette. We'll be back with a new edition next week. And until then, this is your host, Rusty Turner, saying, have a great weekend.